In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Normally, my sermons are based on one of the scripture readings that are assigned for the day. But since this will be the first time that I'll be celebrating Holy Communion here at First Trinity Lutheran Church, I thought that this would be a very good time for us to consider what Holy Communion is and why it is so important to us. And I will share with you that what I am about to say is very similar to the way that I give communion instruction both to adults and children. There are many different names for the Holy Communion. The Lutheran confessions and the catechism often call it the sacrament of the altar or the Lord's Supper. The fancy name that's used in seminary quite a bit is Eucharist. It comes from the Greek word meaning thanksgiving. I normally call the Holy Communion the Holy Communion, but that name Eucharist, meaning the great thanksgiving, in a unique way, tells us a lot about the sacrament of the altar. Think about your family's typical Thanksgiving Day dinner. Who's there? Close family members, maybe some members of your extended family, perhaps some friends. I know that a lot of people, if they know someone who doesn't have anywhere to go on Thanksgiving Day, will always give an invitation to that person to join them at their table. My mom was always very good about that. What happens before dinner? Even people who don't normally say grace before their meals will often pray over their Thanksgiving dinner. What foods are served? Usually the traditional ones. Turkey, pumpkin pie, stuffing. I call it stuffing. Some people call it dressing, but no, dressing is what goes on a salad. Some people call it filling. No, filling is what goes in a cavity. It's stuffing because back in the good old days, before we were worried about salmonella and E. coli, we stuffed it right into the bird. And also, as part of that meal, there may be wine. It's a celebration after all. What happens after dinner? Someone once said that football is played on Thanksgiving Day so that you don't have to talk to relatives that you wouldn't speak to the rest of the year. But the sociable people do talk and talk and talk. What do they talk about? They talk about the past, their glory days of yore. They talk about the present, what they're doing, and especially what their kids are doing. And they talk about the future, their hopes and dreams. What's my point? The Holy Communion is in many ways similar to your Thanksgiving dinner. A family gathers. A church family. Some of us may be biologically related, but more importantly, we are all together the children of God. To this dinner, the Lord's Supper, everyone is invited. Here we pray. Here we speak to God as beloved children speak to a loving father. And we share the traditional foods. The bread and the wine, which is the body and blood of Christ. It's wine because it's a celebration after all. We'll say more about how the bread is Christ's body and the wine is his blood when we talk, when we tell the story from the past, the history of God's great acts in our world. And we'll talk about the present, what the Holy Spirit is doing for us and through us today. And we'll talk about the future when Christ comes again and God is all in all. These are things for us to give thanks for. So we call it the Eucharist, the Great Thanksgiving. What we do each Sunday, what I just described, we call in a shorthand kind of way, Word and Sacrament. We have a good idea of what the Word is. The Word is God speaking to us through the Bible and through the faithful preaching of the church. But what is a sacrament? A sacrament is defined as something that Christ commands us to do in Scripture where there is a physical sign that gives us a spiritual grace. For example, holy baptism is a sacrament. Christ told us to go and baptize all nations. Water is the physical sign, something we can see and touch. The spiritual grace of baptism is that we receive the Holy Spirit and we are made part of God's family. Holy Communion is a sacrament as well. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the night of the Last Supper, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." In the Holy Communion, the bread and the wine are the physical elements that we can see, touch, taste, and smell. The grace we receive is the forgiveness of sins and unity with Christ and one another. The elements of bread and wine are extremely significant. They are nothing to be trifled with. Where does the bread come from? God gives us the seed and the sunshine and the rain, and the wheat grows. The farmer harvests the wheat, the miller makes it into flour, and the baker makes it into bread. So bread is primarily a gift of God and also, in a sense, the work of our hands. Where does the wine come from? Again, God gives the seed, the sun, and the rain, and the growth, and we human beings crush the grapes, ferment the juice, and make wine. Again, that's both God's gift to us and, to a lesser degree, our work. Then God miraculously takes them both, bread and wine, and makes them for us the body and blood of his Son. How and why does he do that? Let's answer the why question first. And to begin, we'll remember the Exodus. The 10th and final plague that God sent to break Pharaoh's heart of stone so that he would let the Hebrews go free so that they could worship him was the death of the firstborn of all of Egypt. To not be a victim that night, God told his people through Moses to sacrifice a lamb and put some of the blood above the door of their home. Then death would pass over them. They were also instructed to eat a special meal the night before their release. In addition to the lamb, there would be unleavened bread. The bread would be unleavened because normally it would rise during the night, be baked in the morning. There was no time for them to do that. There was also going to be wine because it's a celebration after all. God further instructed them to repeat that Passover meal every year to remember how he had rescued them, taking them from slavery to freedom, from death to life. Fast forward a few millennia. Jesus is celebrating the Passover with his disciples. It's the night before he would die on the cross. What Jesus did at that meal was unprecedented. First, he fulfills the promise of the Passover and then redirects that meal in an incredible way. Christ takes the bread and says, "This is my body." And he takes the cup and says, "This is my blood." In doing so, Jesus completes the promise of that first Passover, as now all people will be liberated from sin and death by sacramentally participating in Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. Ever hear, "You are what you eat"? When we eat the body and drink the blood of Christ, we become, as St. Paul says, the body of Christ. That is the church in this world. And we receive all the benefits that Christ's death and glorious resurrection won, namely the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But how, people ask, can the bread be Christ's body and the wine be his blood? Do you mean spiritually or symbolically? No and no. And following scripture on that point has led to much division among God's people. The Lutheran Church, along with the one holy Christian church throughout the ages, believes and teaches that the bread and wine of the Holy Communion are truly Christ's body and blood given and shed for us. How can that be? We admit that if you put the wine under a microscope, you won't see red and white blood cells. In a similar way, if you put the bread under a microscope, you won't see epithelial cells. Still, we say that Jesus is really, truly present in the bread and wine. I explain that with something I call guerrilla theology. Here's a riddle for you. Where does a 2,000-pound gorilla sleep? Answer, anywhere he wants to. Where can Jesus Christ be? Anywhere he wants to be. And there are certain places that he has promised to be. One of those is in his word. We've talked about that. Another is in the sacraments. We've talked about them. Christ has also promised to be wherever two or three are gathered in his name. So here we are in church, gathered in Christ's name, where we share the meal that Christ commanded, the sacrament, and we proclaim the word which is Christ. We can say without a doubt that Christ is truly here with us right now. As Luther said, he's in, under, and above the bread and wine. When the power of the word of God is combined with the bread and wine, then the elements become for us visible words. In the eating and drinking, we receive the same message from God that the Bible gives us, the same message that the words of absolution gave us, that God loves us and forgives us. Just as we have to stretch our minds to understand a concept like a visible word, so must our minds be transformed by the Holy Spirit to recognize Christ present in the sacrament of the altar. Very first Easter, two disciples were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. They were dazed and confused by Jesus' death and the reports that they had heard of him being seen alive. They didn't quite understand or believe all this. A stranger joined him. They didn't recognize him as Jesus. Jesus was different somehow. I guess death and resurrection will do that to you. When they told the stranger Jesus about what had been going on, he explained to them how the scripture said that the Messiah had to die and rise again. When they invited this stranger into their home for dinner and he took the bread and blessed it and broke it, then they realized that he was Christ, and suddenly he was gone. They recognized Christ in the breaking of bread. And then they said, "When we were on the road and he opened the scriptures to us, didn't our hearts burn within us?" There's much we could say about that story, but a couple points are relevant for us today. For one, we also recognize Christ in the breaking of bread, in the Lord's Supper. And two, word and sacrament always go together, each supporting and complementing the other. That's what the book of Acts tells us the first followers of Christ did. They met to pray every Sunday, to tell the Jesus story and break bread, and they were happy and blessed. That's why we celebrate communion every Sunday. We are following the apostles and Jesus' first followers. We're following in their footsteps. People may get tired of coming to Christ, but thanks be to God, he never gets tired of coming to us. We never seem to get bored with sinning, so we should never get bored of having Christ tell us that our sins are forgiven. If communion was just an empty ritual, just an unnecessary symbol, then everything would be different. But the Eucharist is the living presence of Christ among us. We need him. What a privilege. What a blessing it is that we are called to this feast of love, unworthy as we are. Let us give thanks and be glad. Let us eat the bread and drink the wine. It's a celebration after all. Amen.